Let me ask you to be opening your Bibles this morning to the book of Philippians, chapter 1. Just a little bit, we'll start at verse 12, and we will consider the context down through verse 20. So Philippians, chapter 1, verse 12 through verse 20. While you're doing that, let me welcome you to our TGRN broadcast this morning. We're always glad for the listeners that tune in. We've been tracking these since really the time we started broadcasting on TJRN, and we have a steady stream of listeners, and we are very much appreciative of that. Hope and pray that in some way what we're doing in this radio broadcast and trying to share the gospel of Christ brings us not only some connection to your life and kind of pulls us together as a body of Christ, but also to bring about the spread of the gospel in this world. And we are so very thankful that we have this means to do so. And thank you to the good people at TGRN. Just as soon as you possibly can, we certainly would encourage you to come and be a part of the worship assembly here in the building at the Beacon Church of Christ. We have adopted our meeting times just a little bit on account of the COVID isolation period that we're still undergoing. So we are meeting currently Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. for a worship period. And then we are meeting also on Wednesday nights at 6 o'clock for our midweek Bible study. We're really hoping that the time in between being together is one of those safety measures to keep the virus down. We have roped off the pews so that we are sitting only every other pew. We have personal protection equipment here in the building, and then we are only using the building twice a week, and hopefully that that time in between being in the building gives time for the virus to kind of die down and clear out before we meet again. So we are practicing those safety measures, and things are going very well for us. We have had several who had the COVID virus but are now over it. We have two individuals who are currently struggling with it. They apparently received that from, we don't know where they received it from, but likely an outside source. But anyway, for those who are still struggling, we are prayerful and mindful of you. And for those who are able to be with us at the building, we are very much appreciative of that. I want to read with you these verses from Philippians chapter 1, beginning at verse 12. Please follow along in your Bible. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and therein I do rejoice, yea, and I will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer, and the supply of the Spirit of Christ, of Jesus Christ. Verse 20, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing shall I be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. In these verses, Paul is trying to help the Christians in Philippi to understand how the pieces, the events of his life, fit together to make the big picture of God's word going forward. When Paul writes the letter to the Philippian church, he is at that moment under house arrest in Rome. And he's under house arrest because of a lie that was started about him way back in Acts chapter 21. In Acts 21 and verse number 28, the statement is given to us by Luke, the historian of the New Testament. And Luke makes the statement that there was a time in which, when Paul was in the city of Jerusalem, that some Jewish people brought forth the accusation that Paul had brought Greeks into the temple and polluted the temple. Well, if you were a Jewish person, bringing a Gentile person into the temple was about as severe a crime against the temple as could possibly have been. But Paul did not do that, but nonetheless that lie had been fabricated and spread abroad. Because of that lie, for the next almost four years, Paul will suffer all kinds of very severe difficulties in his life. In the immediate context following Acts chapter 21, part of the difficulties that Paul would experience is that there would be a mob that developed, and that mob of Jewish people was so angry at what was spread around that Paul had done that the text of Acts tells us they were literally trying to tear him limb from limb. And the Roman soldiers had to come in and stop the riotous activity. Following that, Paul will be in and out of federal holding cells for the next 3 or 4 years. He will stand before various Roman officials who were all trying to figure out what to do with him. He will have a death threat issued against his life by 40 people who took a vow neither to eat or drink until they had killed Paul. To thwart the efforts of those trying to kill him, Paul appeals to Caesar. Along the way to Caesar at Rome, Paul gets in a violent storm at sea. And the storm is so violent that the ship is beat apart by the waves and all on board suffer a shipwreck. And Paul is on land on the island of Malta. He's bitten by a snake. Following that, he continues his journey to Rome and he walks his way down the Appalachian Way to Rome. And once there, Paul is put under house arrest again in Acts chapter 28, beginning verse number 30, where it says that Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Now it is while Paul is under house arrest that he writes 4 of the letters we have in our New Testament. We call them prison epistles, and we call them prison epistles because Paul is detained, he's held under house arrest at this particular point in his life. Those 4 letters are the book of Ephesians, the book of Philippians, the book of Colossians, and then also the short personal letter to the individual by the name of Philemon. Those 4 make up the letters that Paul wrote while he is held in the passage mentioned in Acts chapter 28. Now it's while Paul is under house arrest that he makes some things, some comments to these Philippians that we just read a moment ago. And I want you to reflect back on Romans chapter 1 and verse 12, the verse we started with, where Paul again makes a statement, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." Let's kind of park right here on this verse for just a moment as we introduce a couple of things that are important for our understanding of the rest of this context. First of all, please notice the very first line of Philippians 1 and verse 12, where Paul makes the statement in my King James, "But I would ye should understand." I would ye should understand. Now that doesn't come across very well in our English translations, but this is actually a very determined expression, a very forceful, very strong expression. Paul is not saying, "I want to tell you about something." That's not what he's saying. He's not saying, "I hope you get this." He is not even saying, "This is important." But Paul is telling the church with this phrase, "This is something you must understand." The Greek phrase talks about a deliberate, determined intention to put something in someone's mind. He's telling them roughly what we mean when we say, I want you to be completely clear on this. I want you to make sure you're not making any mistakes about what I'm telling you. And so Paul wants it very clearly understood what he's about to explain to these people. And then this next statement that appears, where Paul says that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather to the furtherance of the gospel. Well, what things? What things is Paul talking about? Well, the things we just mentioned a moment ago. How that Paul had a lie told about him. How that because of that lie, a riotous mob had developed and was threatening to kill Paul's life. How that Paul had to be rescued by the Romans. How that because of that lie, for the next 3 or 4 years, Paul will stand before various Roman officials and be in and out of house arrest. And how that he would be taken by ship to Rome following a death threat that was put on his life. And how that at the voyage to Rome, during the voyage to Rome, there would be a storm at sea, there would be a shipwreck, he would be bitten by a snake, and all of those other things we've talked about. When he says, the things which happened to me, those are the things that he is talking about. All of those things, all of those pieces, God used to bring about the furtherance of the gospel. And it was important, Paul is writing to these Christians, that they be absolutely clear that all of those things that happened to him that seemed like maybe random disjointed pieces that really didn't fit together or were not good things in his life, all of those things God was actually using to spread his word in the Roman government palace. Now, in a similar situation, but a different context, a later context, in fact, in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2 in verse number 9, the last letter we have written by Paul, and the last time that Paul is in prison that we know of, Paul will make this statement, 2 Timothy 2 in verse 9, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Today, you and I need to be absolutely sure of the ability and the providence of God to use any and every situation, to use all of the pieces of this world that maybe sometimes seem so random and so disjointed and so evil. He uses those things through His providence to bring about the spread of His word. You know, we're going through some very difficult times right now, and we have been for a while. It's no secret when we talk about COVID. Everybody knows about COVID. We're still dealing with the effects of the disease in our world right now. Our world right now is in political upheaval because of recent events. We're all aware of those things. But do the problems and difficulties of our time, do the evil things of our time have the ability to prevent the spread of God's word in this world? Or can God use those pieces, those events that may or may not seem to make any sense to us, can God use those to accomplish His will in this world? Now let me tell you something. How you answer that and how you understand that is in large measure a determining factor in your level of activity in the furtherance of the gospel today. Paul wanted the Philippians to be fully persuaded, to be absolutely clear on the point that God used all of those horrible things that were happening in his life to actually spread the gospel of Christ. Paul wanted the Philippians to be absolutely convinced of that, and you and I must be absolutely convinced of that as well. That even though there are so many things, so many events, so many pieces that seem so random and so evil in our world, God can and does use those to accomplish His will. I want to turn the spotlight on this passage this morning and how that even today in our time with all of its struggles and difficulties, the gospel is not bound. And because it is not, we must be full participants in the work of spreading that gospel. We're going to be making some application today, first of all, from Paul's chains, Paul's companions, and Paul's crisis. None of those things prevented the spread of the gospel. And God used those things to carry out the furtherance of the gospel. Let's look first of all at Paul's chains. Paul's chains, God used to spread the gospel of Christ. Here is verse 12 again. I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel. The word translated furtherance in this verse means progress. In fact, if you're looking at a New American Standard Bible, it will actually use the word progress, the things which have fallen out rather unto the progress of the gospel. Originally, the word progress was used of a pioneer cutting his way through brush. It was actually a word that Paul borrowed from the Greek military world that referred to Roman army engineers who actually went before the troops and they cleared out a path to where the troops were going so that they could easily travel from one place to another. And that word furtherance is describing that clear and easy path that was made. Paul was a prisoner, but you see, he was also God's pioneer, opening up new territory, reaching right into the heart of the Roman Empire. In Romans chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, Paul there makes a request to the church at Rome. And that request is, making request if by any means, now that at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end ye may be established. He's requesting the church to pray for him that he might have a prosperous journey to get to Rome. Well, Paul made it to Rome, but he did not make it as a free preacher. He made it as a prisoner by Rome. Now, we don't ordinarily think of being a prisoner as a good thing, but you know what? It was a good thing. Because Paul was a prisoner in the palace, he had open and free access to the palace guard. The gospel, you see, was moving into new territory because Paul went as a prisoner of Rome. His chains were providing new people to talk to. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 13, Paul would remark, "So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places." You see, he's talking about the gospel in the palace. People in the palace are being converted. Being a prisoner was not an obstacle. It was an opportunity. Acts chapter 28, verse 16 says that there was a guard that kept Paul. He guarded Paul while Paul was being held by Rome. Now, Luke doesn't give us any of the conversation between Paul and his guard, but I wonder what they were talking about. Were they talking about maybe political unrest of their day? Were they talking about maybe some of the social problems that were going on and things of their world? Were they talking about those? Or maybe do you suppose Paul was talking to his guard about the gospel? I want to tell you something. I can't imagine anything but Paul talking about Jesus. And there must have been something like that happening because in Philippians 4 and verse 22, the Bible says, "All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household." You see, there had come to be Christians in Caesar's household, a place where there were never Christians before, and it happened because Paul is there, detained by Rome, being kept by a guard in the Roman palace, and he's talking to those individuals who are around about him. Do we see what's happening? Paul used his time in confinement to teach them about Christ, and he's doing so on Nero's nickel. Paul is not free, but the gospel is free. Paul is bound, but the gospel is not bound. The government of Rome itself is being exposed to the doctrine of Christ because Paul was using that situation to the glory of God, and God was using that situation to the progress of the gospel. There was a lady by the name of Rebecca Pippert, and she wrote a book not too long ago. And the book is called Out of the Salt Shaker. I want to just give you the cliff notes briefly of that book. And here they are. And that is that too often Christians are stuck in the salt shaker where we make no impact for Christ. We come and we sit in the building, but that's about the extent of our outreach. Christian, take your salt and get out of the salt shaker. COVID is no match for the furtherance of the gospel. Political problems of our world, they are no match for the gospel. We are in the world to make a difference. We are called to be the salt of the earth. Let me tell you something. Salt changes everything it touches. And it will change our world if we open our mouths and we talk about Jesus. There has never been a better time to talk about Jesus than right now. Get out of the salt shaker. Talk to those around about you. Use the time and the events that are happening in our world to advance the cause of Christ, as Paul did in his time in his world. Paul's chains were used by God for the furtherance, the progress of the gospel. Not only were Paul's chains used for that, but Paul's companions were used by God for that as well. Some of the people mentioned in these verses had good intentions. Others did not. In verses 14 through 17, Paul will give a context there that helps us to understand some people are helping him and some people are trying to interfere with what he's doing. Now, some of these people were preaching from envy and strife. Some were preaching from goodwill. And Paul doesn't name any of these individuals, but some of them had bad motives. Verse 15, in fact, says this: some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some of goodwill. There were individuals around Paul who were jealous of Paul, and they wanted to add to his burdens. These men were selfish. They only wanted to turn the spotlight on themselves. In fact, the words envy and strife literally mean to canvass for office. They were focused on gathering a following for themselves. Well, Paul had faced that before when he was working with the church in Corinth. But Paul's aim was to lead people to Christ, to not put the spotlight on himself, but to put the spotlight on Christ. These men, however, were selfish, and they just wanted to gain a personal following. Their motives were neither honest nor pure, and so they were preaching out of envy and strife. There were others, though, in verse 17, Philippians 1, verse 17, who were preaching out of love, knowing that Paul was set for the defense of the gospel. They had a good heart, they had a good attitude. Now, we don't see a lot of what's going on behind the scenes with all of this because Paul doesn't go into it here. But here's what we do see. Like Paul, we have to realize that we have too big a job to do to get bogged down with bad companions. Sometimes I think there are brethren who've been baptized in sour pickle juice. I really do. And they just seem to have, you know, a bad attitude about things. I don't know why. I don't know why anybody who's a Christian would have a bad attitude, but there are some that seem to be like that. We don't have time to be pulled down with things like that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33, Paul said, "Be not deceived, evil companions corrupt good morals." You see, the progress of the gospel is the thing that is important, And that's what Paul stuck to. And so must we. Now, as a result of Paul not getting sidetracked, look back at verse 14. In verse 14 again, we see that many of the brethren of the Lord were waxing confident by my bonds, and are much more bold to speak the word without fear. I want to tell you something you already know. Enthusiasm is contagious. Because of Paul's boldness in the Roman court, the brethren in Rome became bold and confident as well, and they were preaching the word without fear. Do you want the gospel to spread in this community? Would you like to see the church building full of New Testament Christians? Do you want to see people being baptized for the remission of their sins and added to the body of Christ? Well, then you be enthusiastic about the gospel. You preach the word without fear. You be talking to others about Christ. Say something for God every day. Each and every day presents something within it that is an opportunity for you and I to help the progress of the gospel. There are individuals around you probably every single day, and they have never heard the gospel, not even for the very first time. Well, God is counting on you to talk to those people and help them to understand that they need to not only believe Jesus is the Christ, but they need to repent of their sins and confess their faith in Christ and be baptized. And God is counting on you to tell people that. And there are others who, well, they need to hear the gospel again. They were at one point in their life Christians, but they've drifted back into the world. And you know what? They need to hear it again. They need to change their lives because things have crept into their lives, things of this world, and they are more like the world than they are like a Christian, and they need to hear the gospel again. And they've wandered away. Are we looking for those opportunities to help people like that? Are we ready to do what Peter said in 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, to be ready to give an answer to every man of the reason of the hope that's within you with meekness and fear? Are we like Paul, speaking the truth in love so that people can grow up in Christ? Is that what our lives are all about? Let me tell you, if you and I do not say something for God, it will not get said. Say something for God every day. Your enthusiasm will be contagious. God was using Paul's companions as well as his chains to help further the gospel in the world in which Paul was a part of. Now, there's one more thing in this context that we need to spend a little bit of time with, and that is Paul's crisis. Paul was dealing with a little bit of a personal crisis in his life. Here is Philippians 1 and verse number 20. Paul says, "According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing shall I be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death." I want you to look at that last expression for just a minute. Whether it be by life or by death. Paul's expectation, he says his earnest expectation, his hope, was to live a life so that he should be able to preach with all boldness. And that in his life he was going to glorify Christ no matter what. It didn't matter whether that meant being a minister or being a martyr. It didn't matter whether it meant being a prisoner or being in paradise. Paul wanted to magnify Christ in his life or in his death. In fact, this idea, "so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body," that term magnified literally means to make great or to make large, to increase, to make something big. It didn't matter what came to Paul's life. He was not trying to make himself big. He was trying to make Christ big. He wanted to magnify Christ in his life or even in his death. And it didn't matter whether it was either one. He was going to show how great Christ is. And Paul commented about this just a little bit in Philippians 2 and verse 23, the very next chapter, where where Paul makes the comment, so soon as I shall see how it will go for me. You see, Paul really didn't know how things were going to turn out for him. And so here he is in this crisis. He doesn't know what's exactly going to happen to him in his life, whether he'll live or whether he'll die. If he lived, he determined to serve God as a minister of the gospel. Nothing was going to stop him from that. God had given him the commission to preach to the Gentiles according to Romans chapter 15 and verse number 16. And as long as he had breath in his body, Paul was going to fulfill that commission to preach to the Gentiles. But what if the trial with Caesar went against him? What if it turned out where his life was taken from him? What if he was killed for his faith? Well, Paul's point to these Philippians is that even in death, he would be faithful. He would still be faithful. In life or death, Paul belonged to God, and he would testify of Christ, whether it mean he lives or whether it mean he dies. Here's how he talked about this crisis in verses 21 and 23 of Philippians 1. He said, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this shall mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I'm hard pressed between the two, having a desire to part and be with Christ, which is very far better. Now in the end, it seemed like Paul knew that he would stay and continue God's work in this world. In verses 24 and 25 of Philippians 1, he'll make the comment, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you for your furtherance and joy of faith. And so Paul really felt like that's how it would turn out. And sure enough, that is how it turned out. Paul's life was not taken from him at this particular point in his life. But either way, whether Paul lived or whether Paul died, he was going to serve God. And because of Paul's dedication for serving God, even in this crisis in his life, God would use that also for the progress of the gospel. I'll close our time this morning with a mention of what's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1. Paul is asking the Christians in Thessalonica to pray for him, to pray for the missionary team actually, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. Paul appealed to the Christians in Thessalonica, and he's asking them to pray for him on that behalf. And when he wrote to the Colossians in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 23, he gave indication that he prayed for the word of God to be spread throughout the world, and in fact, that is what had happened. Paul, speaking about the gospel, says, which ye have heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven. God was bringing all the pieces together to bring about the spread of his word. Do you think that's possible today? Do you think it is possible for the word to run with such free course that it can go all throughout our community, all throughout this country, all throughout this globe, and spread God's word all over the place? Our take home for this morning is just this. God can, and God does, use all the pieces of the things of this world to bring about his will. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7 makes the statement, speaking about the gospel, but we have this treasure, the treasure of the gospel, in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. I hope and pray that each Christian can see ourselves as vessels to be a part in accomplishing that noble mission of spreading the gospel in this world. If there's any way we at the Lord's Church here in Beacon can help you with that, we are most earnestly willing to do so. Just let us hear from you and we will reach out to you just as soon as we possibly can. Thank you for tuning into our program this morning. We appreciate your time and attendance and hope and pray we all, as Paul, worked diligently in the furtherance of the gospel.